I stood in the lonely room of a mother, old and gray. Her voice so weak, she could hardly speak. I brushed the tears away. She was watching the little snowflakes falling on her windowpane. She breathed a sigh and then replied, I'll be gonna be with Jesus come spring. Before the roses have bloomed in my garden and a warm wind blows across fields of green, before the robin sings, before the grass turns green, I'll be gonna be with Jesus come spring. There's a big gate standing open. A gentle voice calls me home. Soon I'll be in God's country, in a garden of my own. With my troubles far behind me and my body free from pain. When the sun melts the snow and the warm winds blow, I'll be gonna be with Jesus come spring. And now the roses have bloomed in her garden, and a warm wind blows across fields of green. She's gone where angels sing. Earth's loss is heaven's gain. But we'll meet when God gathers flowers come spring. Yes, we'll meet when God gathers flowers come spring.
Appreciate the good singing this morning, good playing from Sister Faye, the good song by Brother Mike, and the good song leading by Brother Colin. It's always a joy to be able to hear the Lord pass by in the singing service and allow it to be used in a great way. I think about that last song, Come Spring. My great-grandmother, when she passed away, that was one of the songs that was performed at her funeral, and it seems to be, like most people find it sad, but I find it to be a very happy song for a reason, because she is gathering flowers in the master's garden this morning. She is enjoying heaven this morning. She's not here where her body is racked in pain. I was thinking this morning, if you have a good mother and she's still alive, tell her you love her. If she's still where you can grab her and give her a hug, give her a hug and say thank you. Give her a hug and just let her know that you love her, if you still have that ability to. But if she's gone to be with the Lord and your mother's no longer with you, or maybe you weren't even raised by your mother, maybe whoever it was, maybe you were raised by someone else, maybe someone else was a mother figure, maybe there's somebody in church that you grew up with, and we talked about that in Sunday school, about a mother figure that maybe was in church, and maybe you really love those people. Tell those people that you love them, because I believe that our time to tell them is now, and we shouldn't wait until they've passed beyond this life to tell them or be ready to thank them for what they've done for us. I'm thankful for good godly people in our lives, and it's not just the mothers, it's the fathers, it's everybody. It takes a family, so I'm appreciative of that. I'm appreciative that I still have my mother with me. I'm appreciative that I can still tell her that I love her and hug her and just say thank you for everything she's done for me. She's a good godly woman, and I believe she's prayed for me down through the years, and I appreciate that, and as I believe a lot of mothers do for their children. Is there anything else on your hearts this morning before we go any further? Anything at all? If not, we do have a thought on our heart this morning. And our reading lesson would come from 1 Samuel, the first chapter. And we'll start with the ninth verse. And I guess this would be along the lines of maybe a Mother's Day sermon. Maybe it won't be. I'm not really sure how the Lord's going to take it and use it. But the Lord has given us some thoughts this morning, and He's used it through the women of the Bible. A lot of times in our churches, we'll forget about the women. We'll just talk about the men and the great things that they have done. And I believe men have done some great things down through time. And I believe that they're still continuing to do great things. But I believe we also need to give respect and give honor to the women for the things that they have done. Because I believe we can know and read in the Bible about some great things that they have done as well. Great things that we can learn from what they've said and done. And we'll start with the ninth verse for our reading. And it says, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in heart only, her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." And our thought this morning would come from that 15th verse. And it says, But I have poured out my soul before the Lord. And if I could use a title for this today, it would be, They Took It to the Lord. I've often thought about, and I know that many of you today, I can remember back to maybe your mother, your grandmother, great-grandparents, and different times in church history and sitting in services with good godly women. And you can think back to the times when you've seen them begin to pray and testify and shout of the things that God had done for them. And I can think about times in my life when I have heard my grandmothers, my great-grandmother, my mother pray. And I think about the times that they would get in the Spirit and how the Spirit would come upon them in such a way that you knew the Lord was near them. And I thought about how Eli came upon Hannah praying in the temple. And I thought about how he saw her lips moving, but there were no words coming from her mouth, but her heart was getting in touch with the Lord. I've thought many, many times how good, godly women, they can get in touch with the Lord and great things can happen because of that. I've thought about how many times, and we were talking about that in Sunday school, and I told them in Sunday school they were getting all over my lesson this morning, but that's okay. But I've thought about many times how women can get in a service and they can begin to testify about how God has blessed their lives. And I've thought about how the women can begin to pray for a lost person. Have you ever seen a lost person get under conviction and you just see the women surround them? They go up and they begin to pray for that lost person. Now there's no way that those women, nobody can save that lost person but themselves. Oh, but I believe they can get in touch with the Lord when they begin to pray for that lost person. I believe that that lost person can feel convicted of their sins and let them know that they're lost and on their way to hell because they hear those women praying. I can remember hearing the services where the men would gather in the altar and the women would get in there with them and they would pray so loud that it seemed like the whole church building shook with the power of God. That's exactly what our churches need today, is for women and men of God to pray the power down on His church and His families. I thought about Hannah here and how the things that she had gone through. And it says that she was the wife of Elkanah, and he had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. And Peninnah she had a bunch of children and sons and daughters. And it says that she had been blessed with this family. And Hannah, I believe Elkanah loved her. I believe he loved Hannah, but she could bore no children. It says in the fifth verse that her womb had been shut up. I believe that Hannah was very upset at this. I believe that it broke her heart that she could have no children. And it saddens me today when people cannot have children, because there are some great people in this world that cannot, but they deserve children more than most of these families out here that have dozens of children and can't even take care of the ones that they have. Bless their hearts. But as I was thinking about this, and I thought about how the shape that poor Hannah must have gotten in. She thought maybe the Lord had forgotten about her. She thought maybe the Lord had looked at her and said, just marked her off and said, you can't have children. I'm not going to bless you with that. And I believe she was provoked, and it says, by her adversary. Can you just imagine what some of the women may have been saying around the town where Hannah was? Well, did you know that she can't have children? Do you know that she can't bore any children? There's no way that she'll ever have a family. And I thought about that, and I thought about the connotation, the way that people must have looked at her. And they must have thought maybe she had done something wrong to be marked that way. And I thought how sad that Hannah must have felt for that. And I thought about how she gets in this temple, and it says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And my Bible says that that wept sore means wept greatly. How many times have you seen or heard your mother go to the Lord in prayer weeping greatly? On your behalf, I've heard my grandmother. I've heard her pray many a time. I've spent the night with her when I was younger, and I can remember hearing her call on the Lord on my behalf, weeping and asking the Lord to protect me and keep me safe. And when I was lost, I can remember her praying for me, letting me know that I was on her mind and her heart and that she wanted me to be saved. But it says she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And then she gets down and she says, she vows a vow to the Lord. She says, if you'll give me a child, I will give him to you. And this is the part where I want to get to, where our thought comes from. They took it to the Lord. Now, I believe there's a lesson to be learned here. I believe there's a lesson in our lives for us that are growing up and for us that are younger. I believe we still need to take things to the Lord. Things that bother us, things that afflict us, things that don't seem like there's a good way for it to turn out. We still need to take those to the Lord, even if it's not a good situation that we're in. If we'll take it to the Lord, I believe He'll help us with it. Because I believe we can see here, Hannah was in a bad shape. She was in a way that I believe we knew that her heart was just broken. She was calling on the Lord and asking Him, Lord, would you give me this child? Lord, would you bless me with this? And she was bitter about it. How many times has something happened in our lives and we went to the Lord and we felt sorry for ourselves? I do it all of the time. Something bad will happen and I'll say, Lord, you've done that to me. Look what you've done. Look what has happened to me. Look what I got. And we all like to feel sorry for ourselves. I know I do. We all do. And I believe Hannah may have felt just a little bit sorry for herself. But I'm so thankful that she had this lesson in what she done here. I believe she prayed with everything that was in her. Oh, I miss those times when I could hear my great-grandmother pray. I can remember when I was lost. I can remember her praying with me and asking me, Taylor, do you want to pray? I can remember her coming into the bedroom one night, and it was after a revival service, and I'd already been praying at church, and she had tears in her eyes, and her face was red. You could tell she'd been crying. And she came to the bedside. I was getting ready to go to bed, and I can remember her looking at me and saying, Taylor, don't you want to be saved? Taylor, don't you want what I've got? And I can remember her asking, Taylor, would you like to get down on the floor and pray with me? And if you knew her, you knew that she couldn't get down very well. She didn't have the best ability. Her body was just about worn out. But she was willing to get on the floor with me and pray for my soul. And that has always stuck with me. This world needs people to care about people. We need our churches, our good godly mothers, our good fathers to pray for the people of this world. We need our churches to care again. That's the thing that I think we're lacking a lot of times, is that care. There was a sincerity in the way that they worshiped and prayed to God in a way that I don't believe that we have today. And it says, now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. And me and Sister Jean were talking before service this morning about how different people prayed and about how she remembers women praying out loud. And she said, a lot of times I don't pray out loud because I get self-conscious about the way that I pray, and I just pray on the inside. I believe that God hears our hearts. It's not the words that we say. It's not the things that we utter with our mouth, because I believe that God hears the utterances of our heart. He knows our needs. Now, Now, there's people that can pray a prayer just as pretty as I've ever heard. Brother Luke Spurgeon can pray and just make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And I believe they're sincere prayers. But whatever way that it takes for you to get in touch with the Lord, and if you're here and lost, you'll have to pray for yourself. If you came to the altar and we began to pray for you, oh, I believe this church would get in here and pray and cry and weep on your behalf. But there is no way that they could save your soul. Those prayers that you pray, they must come from you. That salvation, it must come from you. And I thought about this morning in our thought, they took them to the Lord. I've never been a mother, and I'll never be a mother, obviously. So I don't know what it's like to bear a child. I don't know what that's like. But what I do know is that I have a mother that loved me. And I believe she still does. And I believe that when a mother or a father, they have children, and I don't have that yet, but I believe the Lord will bless me with that someday, I hope. But I believe that when a mother and a father have children, I believe that when they are born, they love them more than life itself. I believe they care for them and want to see the best that they have for those children. And I believe the best thing that a mother and a father can do for their children is take them to the Lord and leave them there. Because He is the only one that can help them. He's the only one. You can't be with them all the time. You can't see everything they do, but God can. He knows everything about them. And I believe some of the best parenting that you can do is take them to the Lord and leave them there. And I thought about that this morning on my way down here, and I thought, well, it's got to be hard as a parent to know that you're utterly helpless when it comes to the things of your children. I've thought about the times that I've gotten into things that I shouldn't have gotten into, and my mom was just as broken as she could be, but the only thing that she could do was take me to the Lord and say, you've got to help him. You've got to be the one, because I can't. But I thought about how we take them to the Lord and leave them there. But that's not only for mothers, it's not only for children, it's for everything. Your husbands, your wives, take them to the Lord and leave them there, because the Lord can help them in ways that you cannot. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we love them dearly. We want to see the best for them. But the best thing we can do for our brothers and sisters is take them to the Lord and leave them there. I thought about this. She poured out her soul before the Lord. There are times that people need our prayers. And they need to know that we're praying for them so that they know that we care about them. But our church family, we need to take them to the Lord and leave them there. Because there's a lot of times I pray for this church night and day, all day long. But there's nothing I can do but take you to the Lord and leave you there and hope that God will do the best that He can. I can still do the things that God allows me to. But I have to take those things and leave them in the Lord's hands. And what I want to put in here is, when you take it there, leave it there. Don't go back and check on it and see if it's still all right, because when we place something in God's care, it's in the best hands it'll ever be in. I believe in people today. Our society has changed. Used to, people could, the women could stay at home, the wives could stay at home and take care of the children, and I think that was a wonderful thing. I wish that we could return to that. But today, a lot of times, our children, they're sent off to daycares and school as early as we can get them in there, and they're in other people's hands all day long. But the best hands that they can be in is the Lord's. And I thought about this as well. I thought about when a child becomes lost. And even if you're here today and you don't have children, I want you to think about this with me just for a few moments. Have you ever seen a child go to the altar and they were so broken? They were crying and they were asking the Lord to help save their soul. Have you ever seen that? I want you to know something. If you're a godly person and you pray for that person, I believe you're just as much a spiritual mother to that child as anybody else in this world. Just because it's not your child does not mean that you cannot pray an honest and sincere prayer for them. Oh, but what I believe is you can see your child, and I believe no parent wants to see their child in distress. I don't believe they want to see their child in a compromising situation. But I want you to know and understand, when your child is lost and without God, the only thing
thing that you can do is take it to the Lord and leave it there, because God will save their soul, not you. I'm thankful that God does the saving. I'm thankful for an almighty God that when we take things to Him, it's all right. He wants us to bring our cares to Him so He can help us with them. I thought about pouring out my soul before the Lord in the way that Hannah did, and how Eli looked at her and he thought, she's got to be drunk. She's got something has to be wrong with her. And I thought about the times when we get in the Spirit of the Lord, and I'll tell this quick story on Sister Joy Holland. She's a good shouter from up around home, and we was in a revival at Hillsdale, and I was sitting in the row right in front of her, and she got up and she began to shout. She grabbed me around the neck. She began to shake on me and about wore me out. And I thought, I will never make the mistake of sitting in front of this woman ever again, because she has wore my neck out. But I think about when they get in the Spirit, what that does to a lost person. Well, when you were lost and you saw somebody get up and they began to testify and the Spirit come on them, and they began to shout and testify the praises of God, didn't it make you scared? Didn't it make you wonder what was going on? Didn't it make you want to know what they knew? Didn't it want to make you know what they had within them, because you wanted the exact same thing that they had? Eli was a priest, and he still didn't understand what exactly was going on right here. I don't believe I understand the Spirit of God. I never will truly understand the Spirit of God, but I'm glad that He moves in the way that He does. I'm thankful for that. I want to talk about another mother just briefly, and then we'll try to close shortly, but I want to talk about another mother that had to leave something in the Lord's hands. I thought about Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. God chose her to be Jesus' mother. It says that she was a goodly woman and that He found favor with her. And I want you to imagine being the one to carry the Christ child. And I want you to imagine knowing that He was coming and that He was going to be yours. And I believe Jesus was the best child there ever had been. He probably didn't backtalk nobody. He probably cleaned his room. It's probably the best situation ever had been. Probably the best child there ever could be. I can guarantee you that's not me. So I'm thankful that somebody else, you know, could. I'm thankful that Mary got to have that. But as I was thinking about this, and I thought about, even though Jesus may have been the best child there ever had been, Mary in the back of her mind knew something. She knew that Jesus would have to go to the cross someday. And I want you to think about today. Nobody likes to see somebody be in any harm. I certainly don't. But she knew there was something special about Jesus Christ, about her son. She knew that someday He would have to bear the sins of this entire world. And you know what she had to do? And I don't know that there's any parent in here that would willingly say, yes, hang my son upon a cross for all of the wicked people in this world. I don't believe there's anybody in here that would willingly be able to do that. And I thought about this verse of Scripture in John 19 and the 26th verse. Jesus was hanging on the cross and was nearing the end of His life on this earth. And it said, when Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple standing by whom He loved, He said unto this woman, woman, behold thy son. And then saith He to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. And I want you to think about something this morning. Jesus Christ's mother had to watch her son hang between the heavens and the earth as a lamb slain for the foundations of this world. She had to watch her son be beaten and mocked and just utterly destroyed for this world. They say that his countenance was where he couldn't even be recognized anymore, but he had to endure that for your and my sin because he loved us. But I want you to imagine the feelings that Mary must have had as she watched all of this take place. I want you to imagine the thoughts that must have run through her mind. She's thinking, that's my son that is hanging on a cross. Oh, I believe there were some times when she got down on her knees, and it doesn't specifically say this in the Bible, but I can almost guarantee you there were some times when she would pray to the Father and she would say, please don't make my son have to be the one to bear that cross. Please don't make him be the one. But it still had to be him. It still had to be the one to take the cross. And I just want you to imagine this morning watching your son take the cross for a world full of wicked sinners. There is no way that we would be willing to do that. But what did she have to do? She just had to take it to the Lord. She had to leave it there. She had to know that he was fulfilling the law. He was fulfilling every part of the scripture. It had to be done. I'm glad that she let him hang on that cross for you and I. I'm so thankful that cross was there that day. But I want you to think about that when he was hanging there and he says, "Woman, behold thy son." You know, I can just imagine the thoughts and the pain that was there, but I also want you to imagine the thoughts of, "That's my son that's dying for this entire world." We're proud of people when they do great things. People will get good awards and they'll get all of these things. And oh, they're great things, and we should be proud when people have that. But woman, behold thy son. I'm hanging here for yours and for your sin and for the rest of this world's sin. This is because of me that people will be set free. I want you to think about the thoughts that must have been running through her head. But she simply just had to take it to the Lord, and she had to leave it there. And I want to read you this verse of Scripture just in passing in Proverbs 31 and the 30th verse. Proverbs 31 is generally known as the virtuous woman chapter. I believe it's a wonderful chapter, and every woman should strive, every person should strive to be just exactly this way. But it says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." Fearing the Lord is something that this world doesn't understand much anymore. People aren't willing to admit that there's something bigger than you and I. They like to think that they are the end-all, be-all of everything, but I am not big enough to admit that I know everything, because I certainly don't. And I want to read to you just a few more verses in 2 Samuel, and then I will try to close. I'll start with the first verse. And this is in my Bible, it titles it the Song of Hannah. I kind of like to think of this as a prayer that she prayed to the Lord for thankfulness. It says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bowels of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive, he bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich, he bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. And he saith unto, and he hath set the world upon them, and he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces out of them, and the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed." I'm thankful this morning that we serve a great big God. I'm thankful that the God that we have is big enough to take someone like Hannah, who could have no children, and allow her to have Samuel. And we know that Samuel was one of the greatest men that Israel ever saw, one of the greatest men that has ever lived in this world. Now, he still had his faults, he still had his failures, but Samuel was a wise, wise man. And I'm thankful that God can raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes. I'm thankful that the God that we have is so great that we can take things to him and we can leave them there, and realize and know that our problems and our cares and our children and our families, they're in the best care that they can ever be in. Because when we take things to God, we can know and understand that he has everything under control. This world today, we live in a world that is attacking our families. They're attacking the values that we hold sacred to this world. People are killing their unborn children. They're making families out of
every different combination they can come up with, and I do not believe any of that is of the Bible. I believe that, bless their hearts, they're trying to create something that will never last. The Lord created His family as the first institution, and it has lasted this long. It has its faults and it has its failures, but God made it perfect in the way that He wanted it. I'm thankful for good, godly men and women that will bring their children to church and teach them about the Lord. Train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train your children up in the way of the Lord, and I'm probably preaching to the choir today. If you're here this morning, I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for good, godly men and women. And I'm asking you this morning, if there's anything on your heart that's bothering you, even if you're not a mother, maybe you just have some big problem in your life. Maybe there's just something that's been bothering you for a very long time. I want you to know that all that you have to do, and you may say, that sounds so simple, but it really is this simple. If you'll simply just take things to the Lord and ask Him to help you with them. And I'm a big advocate for prayer. If you ask me a question, you want to know an answer, and I'm probably going to tell you, you need to pray about it. The reason I say that is because the only thing that stands between us and the Lord is ourselves. We have a direct prayer line to the Lord. Every problem that we have can be taken to Him with no interference. I'm thankful that we have that this morning. We as God's people should pray more often, and pray more earnestly. Let's be like Hannah and pour our souls out before the Lord. He already knows, but He wants us to ask. I'm thankful for this opportunity to stand before you this morning. I'd like for Brother Coleman to get us a song together. Let's stand and sing. This altar is always open here at Mount Calvary for lost people to seek the Lord. They won't say there's no virtue in this bench. It has no power in it. But the Lord can meet you here. He can meet you anywhere in this house today. Everybody just follow the Lord and do everything that He'd have for us to do this morning.